It is a blessing to finally be back in the pulpit in front of the camera, which is still a little bit weird for probably most pastors these days to get used to. But we're here, we're excited, and as we start, I want to share a little bit of scripture from you from Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, that's just been on my heart this week. And then I'm going to kick it over to Mike Gillum to lead us in some worship this morning. But Habakkuk chapter 2 says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me, and I will answer concerning my complaint. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is upright. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. And that is the message that God has put on my heart this week, church. And how we live our lives matter. We're going to go through some difficult things in our lives. As you know, some of you have had very difficult weeks. We all, as a nation and a world, have had a difficult time the last couple of months. But for those that are considered righteous before God, because of his grace, because of his son, we're called to live by faith. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time, that you are good even when things are not going well for us. Even as we, most of us, have to stay home and are quarantined, even as we're cut off from fellowship with each other, we are still connected because of your grace and your love by our faith. And that is a gift. Your word says that is a gift to us, that it is not from us so that we can boast. We thank you for your faithfulness, for the fulfillment and the answer of your promises. Father, and I thank you for the faithfulness of this church in these difficult times. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. The giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Oh, faithful you are. promises are yes and amen. Oh, your promises are yes and amen. Yeah. Oh, your promises are yes and amen. So I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. Sing it out. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. And all your promises are yes and amen. 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 I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda, and I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. So take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. God, I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, no, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, oh, nothing else, nothing else will ever do. I just want you, and nothing else. Oh, nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave, and I'm not here for your blessing, Jesus, you don't owe me anything, more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you. I just want you.
We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 this morning. God put this message on my heart, actually, within the last couple of weeks, and sort of been just developing this message on my heart. And we're going to be in a faith series for the next 4 weeks. And this morning, we're going to talk about faith and how it relates to our sin, and how this, how our sin separates us from God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." Last night I had difficulty sleeping last night, and it's interesting, God speaks to me. And maybe Pastor Skip can speak to this as well, but there's times where you feel the Holy Spirit just in just very weird, different moments in your life, just sort of speak something to your heart. And it happened for me last night. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but when I was 16 years old, I went on a mission trip with this organization called Acquire the Fire. And we went to Acapulco, Mexico for 10 days, and we saw something upwards of 350 people in that 10-day period give their lives to Jesus. Their eternities are changed forever by a group of teenagers from all over the United States who just felt this passion to share the gospel message with these folks. And as we're preparing in the months leading up to this trip, there's certain Spanish phrases that we had to learn to effectively share the gospel in their native tongue. And I could speak a lot of it at the time, and I took Spanish in high school, but now all these years later, I'm in my 40s, and I was awoken last night in my sleep with the only Spanish phrase that I remember from that mission trip when I was 16 years old. I woke up maybe 12:30 last night with these words going through my head, and I'm sorry if you speak Spanish, I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. And the words that were just on my mind and my heart in the middle of last night were, Dios, quiere le conozcas personalmente, para nuestros pecados no se prende Dios. Now, it sounds like I know Spanish. I really don't, but I remembered that phrase, and what it says is, God wants to know you personally, but your sins separate you from them. See, God's plan for mankind was always to have close, intimate fellowship with them. That's the way it was in the garden. After Adam and Eve sinned in chapter 3, it says God was walking in the cool of the morning and he was calling out for Adam. God's physical presence was there with Adam and Eve in the garden. But what happened to separate? What happened to bring the curse upon mankind? Was sin. God gave us free will. Free will to follow him in faith and love and all righteousness, but also the free will to make very poor decisions that have very dire consequences and unfortunately for mankind separate us from God's love. Scripture says that we are slaves to sin. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. And this imagery of being a slave as it's connected to sin, really slavery is a metaphor for sin in Scripture, but that's not how God intended it, and that's not how God was going to leave it. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, Israel was literally enslaved to Egypt at the time. Now, God had made promises to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. You can see throughout the Old Testament narrative that he would come down and he would make promises to people. And Scripture says that their faith in God was counted to them as righteous. We see that in Hebrews chapter 11. But Exodus 3, God heard the affliction and the cries of his people. And this is very interesting. He said, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And listen to this, church. It says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It says God literally descended from heaven. He came down so he can begin to restore the fellowship, the community, his very presence with his people. Verse 12 says, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. And it says, you shall serve God on this mountain. God was beginning to lay the groundwork, the plan of redemption for his people that would ultimately be fulfilled in Christ. That God came down to begin to work out this sin and to once again have fellowship with his people. Habakkuk said it, we read it at the beginning of the service, that the righteous shall live by faith. Hebrews 11, I asked you to turn there. I've lost my page. Hebrews 11. We get a really good sort of detail of what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. Abraham received his commendation because of his faith in God. Moses received his commendation because of by his faith. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's what faith is. It's the assurance and conviction of what we hope for and what we cannot see. And God really put this on my heart this week, that just as sin separated us from the very presence of God, it is through faith that we are united again with God, that we can have fellowship with God and one day be in God's physical presence for all time. By faith, Hebrews 11, those two words are spoken some 19 times in this chapter. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken up so he should not see death. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place he was to receive his inheritance. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past age. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And that one is interesting, that God told Abraham that when he finally had his son of the covenant, Isaac, with his wife Sarah, God commanded Abraham to go up the mountainside, build an altar, and sacrifice his son. And Abraham believed that God would either spare Isaac or provide some other way. And there was no precedent before that in Scripture where Abraham could look to and see, well, God has specifically done this thing before. No, Abraham trusted God. He lived by faith. He had a hope and assurance and a conviction that God was in control. That's how he oriented his life. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sin separates us from God. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. By faith, people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. And he goes on in verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty at war, and put armies to flight. By faith, church. And it's interesting that it is by faith that we are reconnected to a holy and perfect God. That righteousness for the believer is found only in one place, and that is through our Savior Jesus. By faith. See, when man's sin has separated us from God, we've established that already. Adam and Eve were literally kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But God came down and began to restore his people. He began to make a way, and he made covenant promises with Abraham and who his people would be, with Moses and the law, with David and who would sit on that throne for not just his lifetime, but for all of eternity. And he began to fulfill that. And he gave Moses the law. And in Leviticus 23, you can read of all the festivals and how people who could come and worship God. And he gave them specific details on how to build the tabernacle. And if you've been with this church for a while, you know that several years ago, we actually had a model of the tabernacle here on these grounds. And you could walk in, you could see the inner gate, and you can actually have gone into the Holy of Holies. And that's where God's presence was. But people could only get so close to God. Not just anyone could enter into that very special and holy room where God's presence was. There was still separation. There wasn't full restoration yet. There's a theory that was made popular in the late 1920s. And it sort of regained popularity again in the 1990s when they made a film with the same title. And this theory came because cities were growing, populations were growing, people were living closer together than ever before in history. And this theory was called, and maybe you've heard of it, it was called 6 degrees of separation. And I was fascinated by this when I was in high school. And just the thought and the theory states that everyone in this world is connected or only separated by no more than 6 individuals. And the challenge is finding those right 6 people that connect you. And at the time when I first heard this, again, I was in high school, and I thought, I wonder if I could connect myself to the President of the United States, the most powerful person on earth, the President of the United States. And I was actually able to do it in 4 people. I had a teacher who had a former student who worked for a senator in Washington, D.C., and that senator knew the president. Within 4 people, I was able to connect myself at the time to the President of the United States. But that's what it was like for people in Old Testament times when they had the tabernacle and then later the temple. When God's presence was there, they could only get so close to that tabernacle, to that tent, or to the temple. Now the priests, you would have to take your sacrifice to the priests. They would make atonement for your sin. But the tabernacle and temple was guarded by the priests. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, into God's very presence one time a year. But then Jesus came. Jesus was the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. And when Jesus was hung on the cross and Jesus died, what happened? The temple veil was torn in two and God's presence was no longer in that inner room. In fact, Scripture says that for those who call on Christ as Lord and Savior, that we are walking temples of God's Holy Spirit, that we have His very Spirit within us. But it is only what, church? By faith. It is only by faith. Verse 12, and God really put this on my heart this week. Chapter 12, I'm sorry, of Hebrews, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about all of these heroes of the faith, men and women both, in chapter 11 that have gone on before us, that have faced difficult times. And it even says that some of these people God had made great promises to, they lived their lives with only seeing maybe a partial fulfillment of that promise, without it ever coming into full fulfillment. But they continued to live their lives in faith, connected to God by their faith, found righteous because of their faith. Now, it's interesting to me, we're apart right now. There's a handful of us in this room recording this message, and we're maintaining our distance. And I tell you, I can't wait for the day, the Sunday morning, when I can come back to this church and fellowship and begin to do life again with all of you in your physical presence. I look forward to coming in the door on that Sunday morning and Ann Causey's standing there, and she's giving me a hard time about my favorite football team. I look forward to just praying with so many of you that I do on a regular basis in person. I can't wait to just be able to hug you around your neck and to just love on you in person. But right now, we're separated. We're separated because of what's going on in our world. But listen, there's something that connects us, that keeps us connected to each other, that keeps us, and this is interesting to me, connected with those of the faith that came before us, and then ultimately connects us with our Heavenly Father. And it's living a life of faith. The righteous shall live by faith. We're called to live our lives in faith. Now, it's interesting, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that word surrounded in the Greek actually means bonded to. That we have a bond and a connection with the folks, with the people of the faith that came before us. And that's what we share with them, is our faith in God. That we share the faith that His promises are true. The salvation is found in no other name, it says in Acts 4, other than Jesus. That we're bounded and we're bonded by this faith. But we have to still live our lives. And it's, for some of you, it's very difficult, because I talked to the former pastor of this church this week, and he said he'd only left the house one time in the last 8 days, and it was to go to the doctor. Some of you are not able to leave it, and maybe it's driving you a little bit crazy. It's this difficult thing that we're going through, but that's how life is, and that's the way the author of Hebrews describes it now. It's this life isn't a race, it isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, and we still have to deal with sin today. We're forgiven of our sin, but we have to still, and living in this fallen world, deal with sin. It says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Sin still wants to cling to us. And if we give into that sin, and I know that you've probably experienced this in your life, I know I have, that those moments where I think a sinful thought, or there's been a sin that I've struggled with in my life, what happens in those moments is I don't feel connected to God's Spirit. I feel disconnect to my Heavenly Father and my faith because I'm still struggling with this sin. We're called to live in faith. We are called righteous because of our faith. And that is a gift of God. It's because of His grace. So what do? It says, let go of these things that cling to us still. Just let it go. It's interesting. I thought of this analogy here. Within the last year or two, we cleaned up the fellowship hall. We had a cleaning day. We removed everything out. And we rented one of those floor buffers. And I had used it once before in my home. And I really had a hard time with this. But I wasn't doing it right. I tried to control this machine. And you've seen it, the big buffing wheel and the handle. And I tried controlling this with my own weight and my own strength. And listen, I didn't get very far before. My arms were burning in pain. And I had Lori Barrett with me. She was helping me clean the floor. She was putting the chemicals down. And I tell you what, I just this thing almost had a mind of its own. I couldn't control it because I was leaning into it with all my weight and all of my strength, and was fighting against this machine. And at one point, I pulled the handle down, and it moved to the right very rapidly, and I couldn't stop it. And I was able to really, I was impressed, by the way, that Lori was able to jump as high and as far as she did, because she hurtled this machine as it was hurtling right towards her. But then I found something, that machine, if I just let the machine do its job and work, and I was very gentle, and I stopped trying to control it with my own strength and might, that it was very easy. It was very easy. And I thought, what a great picture of life, what we've been through, what we're going through now, what we surely will go through in the future, that things are going to be difficult. And when we do try it under our own authority, our own strength, and our own goodness, and our own intellect to control it, that it becomes so heavy and it becomes so burdensome and it tires us out. But if we just let go and trust God in faith, then life is so much easier. Put off every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. And it is Jesus. We're running this race with endurance. And sometimes it wears us out, and we feel so disconnected from the world around us. And right now we feel disconnected from each other. We feel disconnected from our family. I've talked to many of you, and you said it's been so difficult because you haven't been able to see your children, or your grandchildren, or your parents, or siblings. It's been very, very difficult to stay home. But just know, for those that have put their trust and their faith in Jesus, then we are all connected by the fellowship of our faith. And those that have gone before us, who've lived their lives by faith, who were commended for their faith and their righteousness because of that faith, that they have set the example for us. And if things get difficult, maybe even it feels like it's too difficult to bear at times, we can look to our forefathers of the faith and know that just as they had gone through difficult seasons in their lives, that it was through faith that God got them through. And it was through faith that they were able to find salvation. And one day we're not going to have these degrees of separation from God. One day, because of His grace and because of His Son who left His throne in heaven to come down and tabernacle with us, that just by believing in Him, putting our faith and our trust and our hope in Him, that we can one day stand justified, counted as righteous, not because of what we did, because of what Jesus did. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your grace which you pour out on us. Father, the love that which you show us. Father, your word says you are love. And I pray if there's those that are listening to this message this morning that don't know you or they're struggling in their faith, Father, that you use these moments, this message, to begin to pry open the barriers of their heart that have separated them from you all of these years. And Father, that we're not slaves to sin. We're not slaves to our doubt. Father, we're not slaves to our anger. We're not slaves to our insecurity. All of these things that just create separation between us and you. Father, I ask that we place them all on the altar. Father, you take them, you throw them away, and you embrace us in love and grace and mercy that we don't deserve. But you give us because you love us. And may we stand firm in the faith of who we are in Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
We'll see you next week.